52 weeks, 1 year. We're officially 1 year old. It's our birthday here, the AC Method, the podcast, and I brought a whole crew back with us here. So we have Muncie with Exposure. We have Dr. Aaron Warner. We have Jeannie Jackson. And all four of us are here to kind of say, wow, we did 1 year. Got this and pulled it off. And thank you guys for coming.
Oh, thanks for having
us. Thanks for having us.
Yeah, I'm excited to all have you guys here. I've never had, you know, four people on a podcast before. So this is new. But hey, we got our one year birthday. And away we go. So, Muncie, you've been producing this for a year.
For a whole year. I can't believe it, honestly. Yeah. It feels like we're still so new at it and all that. But all the opportunities that came out of it, I'm like so excited for you. And I'm like, all right, what's the next 52 weeks look like?
The next 52 is going to be big. I mean, we already have so many more guests lined up. This is literally should be the last time in this studio. The new studio is ready. You know, I know we're so close.
So exciting.
We were actually planning on moving into the new studio next weekend or this weekend coming up. And the weather stopped us from jackhammering the driveway. And so we got to jackhammer the driveway next weekend. And so now we're pushed out. So we're
right there.
Every time I go over there, I start drooling. I'm like, oh my God, get me in here. So we are right there. But yeah, we have the guest speakers lined up. But I cannot believe how many opportunities this has opened doors for.
Absolutely. I mean, opportunities have presented itself probably within maybe like the last third of your podcast.
Yes.
Which has done great. I love it. The numbers have skyrocketed since then. Like, I recently sent a screenshot to you. I was like, look at these numbers. I'm like, look at you go. It's insane. And like the reviews have gone up and you're in such a niche industry also. So it's not like you're just talking to the broad entrepreneurs and like the broad businessmen, because you are essentially, but you're also talking within your industry of the signage company and the software companies. So I think that's amazing. The fact that you're doing really great on downloads alone.
I enjoyed having the guest speakers on here from the different, you know, the suppliers. Mm-hmm. You know, we had Arlon on here and he was showing off some vinyl stuff, and there was stuff that I didn't. And so I really enjoyed that. I'm excited to see the next wave of speakers coming on board and be able to present what they have. Just excited about all of that. I thought that was really neat. I definitely want to do a lot more of that, get a lot more industry experience out there to the rest of the people, because it is a weird niche that way.
One thing I do want to do, though, is give credit to you, because I was here for your first episode. And now the 52 one.
Talking about
that. Yes, because you've improved so much as a speaker and as a podcaster. So kudos to you on that one, because you're no longer monotone.
The footlocker sounds like a robot.
Your personality shined.
I was just a little nervous. I was trying so hard to think of what I was saying next that it was just robot central. It was painful.
You had a whole script laid out. You had everything. You had to have everything formatted. I mean, that's who you are personality wise. But with this kind of stuff, it doesn't work that way. No. And I think you finally, like, once you broke through that, you're like, all right, I give in.
Wing it has been the key. Like, here's our subject. And that's it. That's all you're allowed. One sentence. There's your subject line. Just start having a conversation. But this guy, you, very much, a huge thank you to you, because you have just springboarded me in opportunity land to something that Jeannie and I have talked about for years of thinking about doing this. And I don't want to give it away. I'll wait till the end to say it. But after I had you on the podcast the first time, and the ratings finally got a big spike off of him. Finally, we had some good guests. I'm like, hey, we know what we're doing here. Then I went to the gala with you and got introduced to Matt.
Yep.
And I did not know about 2 years prior that Matt had got his helicopter's license and he got his pilot's license.
Yep.
And he went so neck deep into it. He's got over 500 hours of both of them. So, I mean, that's a feat itself inside of 3 years. And with Jeannie and myself.
The math, it's like 10 hours a
week. Wow. Yeah.
It's a lot of flying.
At minimum.
Yeah.
He is in it.
That's some dedication. That's 10 hours a week.
Yeah, I had to do the math because I didn't believe him. I mean, you're full of shit.
So. He literally texts us all the time.
Oh, always.
Down at the hangar. If you're here in 30 minutes, you get on the plane.
Yeah.
I'm like, what? No. Yes. No. Maybe.
Damn it. What can I rearrange?
Yeah. Yes,
please. How's the schedule going to And so spur of the moment last Thursday, he texts, he goes, hey, in 2 hours, be there for a helicopter ride. We're taking the doors off. We're going to do Magnum PI style this helicopter. And you couldn't.
I couldn't make it. I was so bummed.
Yeah. And so I like Jeannie, I'm like, you want to come?
Like, you're going to be on a helicopter. I'm like, say what now? Say again? Maybe not. He's like, nope, you're coming.
Yep. And she politely tried to say, I'm busy. I got a lot of work to do. And I'm like, no, you are coming. And as soon as she got there, within 5 seconds, she's like, he goes, Matt looks over and he goes, how you doing? She goes, this is awesome. And he's like, okay, can we see turn stuff? She goes, do anything you want. So we got over Sweetwater Reservoir. And he started doing stalls and 180 turns.
Oh, that's cool.
Yeah, he would stall the helicopter and just drop aside, and it started to fall out of the sky. He'd bring it back around. And in the amount of birds that were in the lake. So we're in the helicopter, like, bird, bird, bird. He's like, okay. He's like moving around the birds. And he goes, a bird strike with the main prop, birds is gone. He goes, a bird strike in the little prop. He goes, might get a little interesting.
In the tail rotor. So it was a good time. I was a little nervous for around, I don't know, 3.5 seconds.
You were.
And then it went away immediately. It was this very surreal feeling, like, I can just step out and I'll be fine. Not really, but it would,
feels like it.
That's what it feels
it
like.
Does. It does feel like it.
I love the perspective from up there. Because everything
was gorgeous.
That's where we grew up, mm-hmm. stopping around, but it looks different from the height from a helicopter.
And not only that, I mean, just, if I was ever going to be a developer, that's what I'd want.
Oh, yeah.
Just come up and you're like, okay, there's residential, here's commercial, we need some industrial. Like, you can just play Sim City for real. Just right there. You have all of it. But with that, he was showing me, you know, his two planes and his helicopter. Mm-hmm. And that night he texted me, he goes, hey, you want to get your pilot's license? And I was like, do tell. Yeah. And so I called him back. I said, what are you talking about? And he goes, well, my instructor has a gap in his schedule for like a month and a half. And so if you can put your nose to the grindstone, he goes, you can get your pilot's license in a month and a half. I'm like, okay. So I got a hold of KC's instructor and I'm like, what does this look like? And I said, because I don't have time during the day. Like, this is not I'm going to stop my life for 2 months.
Right.
And he goes, well, actually, I get up at 4 a.m. I'm usually down at the fields at 5. I said, can we fly from like 5 to 7 or 6 to 8? He goes, yeah. I'm like, then I'm in. I'm done. That's cool. I can get up early and do that. That's starting next week. It's going to be our first lesson.
That's awesome.
Yeah. And you have no idea who you meet. So for the people that are on the East Coast or West Coast or East Coast and Central, you may not know this, but Matt shares a hangar with the guy that built Life's a Beach, that also built No Fear, who built 3 other clothing brands, and now he's working on Trust Me Vodka. This guy's a marketing sensation, built multiple companies. All of his toys are in there, Shelby Cobra. I mean, all these beautiful toys. And I'm like, I get to rub shoulders with this guy. All because... little podcast.
Yeah.
That's where this started. Like, if somebody ever tells you, I have no idea where this is going to lead, that's the truth.
Just jump in and go. That's how we reconnected.
Yeah.
I don't even remember how I found it, but I remember listening to the first one and saying, damn, that's pretty cool. And I think I even had to reach out to your sister to get your cell number to text you.
Yeah.
I said that was awesome. And we reconnected and have hit it off since then.
Oh, yeah. No, hanging out quite a bit. I love it. It's the conversations we have are fun. Oh, yeah. We get in depth and it. I feel bad for the people around us, but
I appreciate
it. Who cares without change? They're either going to learn or they're going to go away.
Yeah. It's been absolute amazing on this one. But 1 year, and then, Jeannie, you've been on this podcast 4 times, 5 times now?
I want to say 4 times for sure. Yeah.
Really? Mm-hmm. I only recall 2. So. Cannot be held responsible for things I might have said on the other one.
You did amazing.
And then we had one couple weeks ago or 3 weeks ago, we actually walked through just an experience we had about hiring and all that. Mm-hmm. And that was just, I mean, we just told a story.
Right. That was a great one too, because it's very rare do we hear like a storytelling from you. It's more, you know, very like, you know, planned, scripted, not scripted necessarily, but there's no storytelling.
Yeah.
Like for the whole podcast. So that was actually one of my favorite ones. And also I gained perspective too of like my hiring process and my firing process too.
So I will say off of that, those 2 questions that we didn't give her, we've hired one person already. We're about to hire a second person this afternoon. Mm-hmm. And we've reinstated those 2 questions.
Huge difference.
Oh, I bet. You should have just stuck with your gut of like what you do. Like, just do that. It's been working for you already. Mm-hmm. Keep it that way.
So the first question, I don't know if I told you any of
this? Oh, I haven't told you this question.
Okay. So for the questions, the first question is Matthew, Mark, Luke, and John, the four names,
yep,
are crossing a bridge at night. Mm-hmm. And Matthew goes across at 2 minutes. Luke goes across at 1 minute. And then the other two go across in five minutes and 10 minutes.
Okay.
And only two people can cross the bridge at one time.
Yep.
They have to carry a flashlight. And then when you get to the other side of the bridge, one person has to come back to bring the flashlight back.
Got it.
How can they get across in 17 minutes?
It's a word problem.
It's a word problem. Now, the word problem is designed to go the exact opposite way of how your brain thinks. So nobody ever gets it right. It's a straightforward answer. It's very simple, but nobody ever gets it right because it's just your brain doesn't work that way. And I'll tell you the answer here in a little bit of how your brain works. And so because I asked this question, people sit there and they start drawing it out. So this is what I give them points for. I give them points if they can rewrite the problem cleanly.
Mm-hmm.
Matt, two, Luke, one, you know, and just kind of rewrite it. Okay, cool. They get the comprehension of it. And then after a while, you can see that their normal logic and common sense is not working here. Their application is not working. So then they start doing hunting. Just fine.
Yeah.
So they go, Matt, you know, Matthew, Luke, but John, don't shoot. John, Luke, Matt. Okay, John, jump. And they just start testing. That's fine. Great. No problems. But what we're really looking for, and the whole reason why I asked this question, is I want to watch them sweat. I want to stress them out. You're already stressed in an interview, right?
Yep.
You want to put your best foot forward. You want to just, so you're already nervous. You're anxious.
Yeah.
And now you can't get a damn word problem correct. Mm-hmm. Your internal clock and all the red lights are just
going off.
Oh, yeah, it's going off. And I watch one guy sit here, just literally beats sweat, start forming. He starts running down his face, and he just can't get it, and you can see him. But what happens is you can't hide that as a person.
No.
If I ask you, are you going to be on time?
Of course
you're going to be on time. But if you can't get a word problem, you start sweating. What you do when you're in a stressful situation, you can't hide that. I've had guys straight up, flat out, no joke, look right at me and goes, you know, I smoked a bowl last night, my brain's not working.
Hey, for honesty.
Yeah. And I was like, well, we drug test here, so let's see that work. The home runs are the people that just keep working. And I'll go about 5 minutes, and it's very awkward. It's quiet. Yeah. About 5 minutes, I go, oh, go ahead and go on question number two. And they go, can I have some more time? That's an A-plus answer.
Uh-huh.
Because that means that they're willing to stick with a problem until they get it right.
I love that.
Yeah, me too. You're super happy. The girl that we hired last week broke the system. So it took her about 2 minutes and she solved the problem.
Got it right.
She got it right.
Nice.
First one in 10 years.
Wow.
Oh, yeah. Couldn't believe it. She's like, okay, that's the answer. And I look over and I'm all,
son of
a bitch. Uh-oh.
What are you doing
here?
Here's my desk.
Here's the keys.
This is your company now.
She got out her little pad. She goes, can I get my own paper and rewrite this? Go ahead. And she rewrote it her own way that she understood. And she's over there. And Aaron goes, okay, so where are you at? She goes, I got 17. And he goes, can you explain? Because some people do, and then they're way off base on how it works. Because a lot of them just, they say, oh, well, these two go together, and then these two go together. And I look at them, I'm like, well, how do you get that flashlight back? Yeah. And they would go, and then they go back to the drawing board. So please explain yourself. And she goes, okay, well, this, and then this happens, and then this person. And she even gave like a cute little story to go along with it. She goes, and then this person goes back to join their little friend over here. There you have it, 17 minutes. I'm like, you're hired.
That's done. Oh, yeah. I was shocked, mouth on floor. And I said, well, and I told her right in the middle of the interview, I said, you're the first person in 10 years to get that right.
She gave it to her husband that night, and who is a philosopher, a professor of philosophy at UCSD.
I feel so bad for him to not get it.
Overthought it.
Oh, yeah.
Oh, yes.
Oh, yeah. Oh, yeah.
And he goes, no way did you get that. And she goes, I got it right. And he goes, how? And I'm like, so you proved how smart you are to your husband. And she goes, it doesn't matter. He's a professor of philosophy. I never win an argument.
So she's been hired. This is her third day, and just a rock star. She's already best friends with everybody. Mm-hmm. She wrote everybody's birthday down, who their significant other's names are. She's making a whole list.
Oh, wow.
Like, she is on a mission.
Where was she hiding?
Canada, actually.
Oh.
Yeah, she just moved from Canada. And rock star. Like,
nice.
An absolute rock star. I'm so excited to have her on the team.
Especially with the last hire you had, too. It's a complete night and day difference. Yes.
Well, she's not in sales. She's actually our VP of operations.
Oh, wow.
We created the role for her just to kind of help Aaron out, be out and stuff. But she's, oh my, it's been great. Every day, it's been lovely.
Yeah, every day is just going to be exciting. It's like Christmas every day.
Yeah. It really is. That's cool.
Like, yeah, every time you come in, she's like, okay, did this and this today? And you're like,
yes.
Thank you. Yeah. And every day she comes, so today she has this whiteboard, 3x5 whiteboard. She brought it herself. And it's got all these little post-it notes. And we're sitting here talking, and all of a sudden she goes, you literally watch her go.
Yep.
And slams a sticky on the board. And I'm like, what did you just do? And she goes, oh, that's my vision board. So every time I have an idea, I just make a note, throw it on there. So I can create a vision board where I want to see the company go, and then I'll present to you in a couple weeks.
Oh, yeah. The present we're going to get in a few weeks.
Wow.
I'm so stoked for. Like, I looked at her earlier this morning and said, I'm not qualified to work with you. And she goes, oh, no, you are. I'm like.
Yeah. And it was, I think, we had one thing. She went to go meet an employee, and the employee had no idea who she was. So she just introduced herself, and I wasn't here Monday and Tuesday. So I had no opportunity to announce who this person was. So she just ran ahead of me and met everybody and, you know, almost looked like a family circus cartoon. I got met everybody and come back. And I was like, I need to announce you. Can you give me 1 second here so I can announce you? So I brought the whole company together. I said, who has not had the privilege of talking with Nadia yet? And this one guy raised his hand. She goes, who are you? She was bummed.
She did something wrong. Yeah.
She wanted 100% kill rate before I even announced him. But it was, it's been great. It's just,
and she goes and makes her circle of every employee every morning, every single morning. And to her, it gives her the pulse of everybody's attitude and where they're at for that day. And, you know, if they need help and what they're working on, I give her props.
Oh, that's a perfect CEO.
Way more patience than I do.
Absolutely amazing. Like, I'm just blown away. I told her, I said, I might be your boss, but I am definitely your student right now.
Yes, so I said the same.
That's cool.
She worked for a huge company for 18 years, and she was just let go on a mass layoff like 6 months ago. So she took a kind of a sabbatical, but massive. She had a $190 million budget and 150 employees.
Wow.
Wow.
That's cool.
60 to 80 hour work weeks and all of this stuff. We're okay.
That's cool. Yeah, no, we are beyond blessed. Beyond blessed to have her part of the team. Super excited.
Well, what I love about that too, and being from a different industry, but still being an entrepreneur and owning a business, is it's too easy to fall into the trap of like, there's just nothing out there. Yeah. It's just like, there's just crap. Is, you know, as long as you come in not chewing on a crayon, I'm going to hire you. Right? It feels like that often. And then you hear stories like this, and there are really good people out there. And a lot of times, I think they need that shift of, you know, being laid off or whatnot, because they like their job. They don't love it. But coming back and working with an environment like you guys have, it's a family feel. And that she's able, I'm sure, to put the passion back into her job as opposed to just being a job. So it's a win for you all. It's certainly a win for her. And it's motivational for, you know, me to say, yeah, there are still good people. They keep finding.
Yeah. No, there really is. And one of the things that she told us, because, you know, we felt underprivileged. You know, we were sitting there just going, you're going to be bored in a heart. You're going to be out of here and go, you know what? This is too small for me. I need something bigger. Like, we were very afraid.
Yeah.
And this morning or late last night, one of the two, very recently, she goes, you know why I love this already so much? She goes, because when I have an idea, you go, great, run with it. She goes, at my last job, it literally took 8 levels of approvals and almost 9 months before I could implement something I thought of. By the time I got the approval back, I had forgotten what we were talking about. And I was like, that's just too much red tape.
Big corporations. I've learned that in the different roles I've played in our world, in my world. But yeah, the big corporations, all the levels and the approvals and then the budgets. And we've already set the budget this year, so we get to put a shit, you know, 12 months out for next year. Mm-hmm. Where in small business, you know, we can turn on a dime, which is a lot of fun. Scary, but it's a lot of fun.
She's stoked about it. That's cool. We can do all of these things to do it every day. So I come in every morning. I'm like, what are you doing today? It's a whole new world.
Oh, it is. It is. It's this amazing watch. But yes, she goes, can I do this? I said, yes. She goes, when can I implement it? I said, now?
Go. Yeah.
And she's just oh my God, the eyes just light up, the whole world, you know, opened up. She's like, I get to move forward now. So
that's cool.
It's really neat to watch this. I mean, I didn't realize how much big corporations do handcuff their people to a point.
They do. And I understand why. I mean, you've got shareholders to answer to. You've got budgets and you've got international stuff. But it's really hard to keep the passion, which is why the large corporations tend to have big benefit packages. Mm-hmm. Because I've got to keep you there by throwing something at you. And if you don't have the passion, I got to throw money at you. And you look at any study, Daniel Pink led it, but he wrote a book, Drive, and a couple other stuff. But, you know, money doesn't motivate people. They'll tell you that, but it doesn't.
Yeah.
It's that passion to be able to create change, to create opportunity, to see the outcomes of their ideas quickly, which really drives them. That's why small business, it impacts so much of, you know, America,
yeah,
and the employers. And that's why I think that podcasters like you and guys with great ideas and gals, that, you know, being able to stay the course, you know, put it through when you're like, anybody download me? Yeah, three people last week. The first one, and it feels disheartening.
Yes.
And you got a couple of stuff to say, which, by the way, I think you are a very good monologuer. I tried to learn that in my own podcast. I was like, I'm hiding behind guests because I can't monologue. But sharing those stories, it just helps all small businesses not only relate, but we steal from each other. We can make our own environments better.
I never understood when I was younger why we didn't share.
Everyone was gatekeeping all the time.
Yeah.
They still do, for sure. Yeah. But the ones that win the most are the ones that share all the information, and they share the wins, they share the successes, and they give away all that information to see other people grow too. Like, I love that. If I'm gatekeeping, I'm like, hell no. Mm-mm. Have all my information. I want to see you win.
Mm-hmm. Let's see what you do with it.
Yeah. Exactly. Everyone will do it differently.
You had an episode not long ago about champions. And I cracked up the entire time listening to it because you were describing yourself, probably not realizing you were describing yourself.
Oh, really?
Really.
Oh.
You have a very unique way of raising everybody else around you. You don't put yourself down, so you're not self-deprecating. I mean, you'll laugh at yourself when it's funny, but you elevate everybody else around you, and you are an amazing connector of individuals, and the way you introduce people to each other elevates both parties. And one of the coolest things about reconnecting this year has been the opportunity to you know, meet different people, but get cheered on for the stuff that I'm doing. And it was, I think it was our New Year's party. You and I were up by your fire pit. And I said, you looked around. I said, the cool thing of everybody you've pulled together at this event, aside from the fact that they're super neat, but they all came from a little bit different walks of life. They're on paper, their revenue incomes are you know, all over the place, but everybody in there celebrates everybody else's wins. And that was cool.
Well, first off, thanks for the amazing compliment. I appreciate that very much. Didn't realize that at all. So it's kind of funny. I'm going back in my head going, what did I say? I'm like, oh, shit, that's the, yeah. That your statement by the fire pit hit home so much. You said, Aaron, look at the group that you put yourself in and surrounded. Look how everybody's getting along. There's no drama. Everyone's happy.
Yeah.
And he goes, and check it out. Everybody here has something to celebrate what they've done in life, but there's not one ego here. And it took me a while to sit there and go, how cool is this? We're just looking around. I'm like, no way.
Yeah.
And it really was. That was a really surreal moment to just see that and say, there's a lot of people here and everyone's amazing in their own way.
Well, and you emanate that, and so you attract that back.
It's just fun. Like,
huh?
Was it 3 years ago, 2 years ago? Dr. John Boyd, we went up there, and he dropped that famous three words that I had no idea what the hell he said, cost segregation study.
Mm-hmm.
I had no idea what that was, and I looked it up, and it made no sense to me, and I kept asking questions, and I finally understood it. That's changed our whole life.
Mm-hmm.
You know, that cost segregation study and the tax implications and what we did when we bought the apartment complex and be able to depreciate through the 179s for all that and wipe out all of our tax liability. I had no idea what that was 2 years ago. Now, I chant it literally. And I'm like, what do you want to do? I'm like, cost segregation study, cost segregation study, cost segregation study. Everyone's like, what the hell is it? I'm like, look it up. And I tell everybody that I can. And I'm
we
like,
don't gatekeep it.
No. I didn't understand that.
I feel like everybody has gatekeeped all of their knowledge about taxes and the cost segregation study and all that, and it sucks. Because we spent a year asking questions and meeting with people, and then we finally got to piece it all together. It's still painful sometimes.
What's funny about that, though, is like with the cost segregation, if I don't tell you, it's not going to benefit me if you do it or not. So it's like, why do they gatekeep it?
Right.
I don't understand that, how people work sometimes.
You're having a conversation with somebody about investing and, you know, how to grow their portfolio and their wealth and life and everything, and you just don't say a word.
So crazy.
Why do you think people gatekeep?
I want to take a moment to talk about true champions that are helping the industry out, and that's Wendy Graves. You guys have all known her for Women in Science. She's been pushing that for quite some time, but she's also made a new alliance to help the industry out, and that's the Make It Happen Signage Academy here. I don't want to get this wrong here, so I'm going to read right from this. www.signage-academy/MIH-glance. That's the information. We're going to go and put it at the bottom of the show notes here and on this clip, so you guys can click on it. She's going to be working with the Make It Happen Signage Academy for the Illuminated Signage Bootcamp, what's on the front lines, teaching project managers, sales, and anything in between. So definitely sign up for those things. Wendy's been doing some great work, so you definitely want to support her, and you're going to learn a lot. If I had to guess, I would say that their fear of sticking their neck out and might somebody else telling them that they're wrong. Their own fear or own insecurities come out, and so they go, if I don't tell you something, then I don't have to worry about being wrong.
Yeah, and the other thing I think is people don't like other people to do better than them.
Like a competition kind of environment.
Those are the egotistical people that we don't like to be around.
Right.
So hence why you didn't see them at that
point.
We avoid them at all costs. The bigger the ego, the more distance I need. But they, I have found that a lot of people just cannot stand it if you might or could do better than them. And if they give you the information that they have and you're going to go up here where they can't due to their own laziness 99% of the time,
right.
they can't, their ego can't take it.
Yeah.
And I think it's sad.
That's super sad.
But, yeah, I've never said it. But even in high school and college, I used to share all the time. Mm-hmm. If I broke up with somebody, I go to my place, I'm like, hey, she was doing this, this, and this, and it just didn't feel right. It turned out to be this, so we broke it off. And if you see those signs, just, you know, keep it up. I remember my friends giving me the weirdest looks. They're like, dude, why? Why would you share that? And I'm looking, I'm going, so you don't go down a rabbit hole and you waste 5 or 6 months of your life realizing that the end is coming.
Mm-hmm.
And I would still share, but I will say that for a little bit of time there, I shared with just a very smaller group. Mm-hmm. It wasn't just anybody and everybody. Now I'm like, if you don't take the advice, that's on you.
Mm-hmm. You know, well, I feel like anybody that knows you, or at least if they pay attention, you share everything. You don't have a thought that does not enough get out, which is fine. But if anything wants any kind of privacy, it's never going to happen. So just be okay with everything coming out in the open. And if you don't have the stomach for that, then don't do it. But I mean, I have the stomach for it, so it's great. But you share every single thing. There is not a single thing that's not out in the world. It is, it's quite comical sometimes. Sometimes I beat him to the punch.
You have to.
It's well, I didn't see it coming.
Yeah. What have you seen on exposure side though? Because I'm not your only podcast. You
yeah.
quite a bit. I mean, you have your own small empire that you're doing here, and a lot.
Yeah.
Influential people that you're around. Where how unique am I compared to the other podcasts, or this, I shouldn't say me, but this podcast in general, mm-hmm. versus the other ones that you have?
So one, how quickly the opportunity came to you. Normally I say podcasts are a long run. You'll probably won't see or make a dime off of it maybe after a year, maybe a year and a half, 2 years, 3 years. For some people it's taken 6 years, and for you, you got it within, was it 9 months of the having the actual podcast? Yeah, the sponsorship. Yeah. So for me seeing that, I was just like, he has become the whole face of that industry because of the podcast, because of what he's posting, because of your history too.
Mm-hmm.
But seeing that, you've become like my little prized child that I share off to other people, where I'm just like, if you're really dedicated and you do as you're told, you can win. Yes.
Do as you're told.
Do as you're told.
I did not do as I was told in the beginning.
Not in the beginning, no, which was very hard because let's face it, you're a little stubborn too, as am I. So I was like, all right, let's give him his way a little bit in the beginning and then like pull and tug a little bit, and ended up working great. But you've definitely, I mean, I've shared your story and your success to many people just in the last 3 months. I actually spoke about you on stage recently because of the success you've had.
Nice.
Yeah. So even though you think you're a small podcast, you're not. Not in your industry. Like, yeah, in comparison, you're not.
That's pretty cool.
Yeah, absolutely it is.
That is very cool. Yeah. But I mean, you have some big names. Let's not lie. I know we can't drop them here, but yeah. All your NDAs are in place. But you have some very big names, and it's really neat to see how they are maneuvering. But at the end of the day, when I listen to those podcasts, we're just trying to say the same thing. Trust your gut. It's okay to fail. It just keep moving forward. It'll be all right. The road to success, the journey itself is the fun part.
Yeah.
Like, there is no pinnacle of I made.
Yeah. You just got to keep going.
Nobody gets that.
Yeah. No one gets it. It's the true entrepreneurs, the true business owners, that they understand that it's a journey. It's a long road and there's no end in sight. It's just, you got to continue going through it.
Yeah.
I don't think people appreciate how hard it is to have a podcast every week. It's scheduling recording time, scheduling guests, planning, knowing what you're going to come up with. I mean, it's there's a lot of people that I've known that have started and failed, or they start and they hit the ground running hard and then they start petering off and failing off. But sticking to that dedication, and we're talking about podcasts now, but whether it's business or you know, working out or being health, whatever the case is, that consistency is a challenge.
Well, that's why like 90% of the people drop off after 10 episodes because they can't stay consistent, or they just, I mean, what I always recommend, do the backlog first. That way you don't have to be in the podcast studio weekly or anything like that. But it takes a lot of consistency and a lot of your time for sure.
Yeah.
It's not an easy game.
No, coming up with the different things to talk about and not getting on repeat is tough.
And that says a lot about you too. Like, if you're able to stay consistent for 52 weeks and like do it for that long, that says a lot about you. Like, you're like, I'm determined. Let's do this. Like, I'm not just going to give up after 10 episodes.
I knew from day one that we're doing 100 episodes.
Mm-hmm.
I said, I'm doing this for 100 episodes, and then we will sit back and evaluate whether
it's worth it.
Mm-hmm. And at the end of the day, this is a labor of love.
Yeah.
You know, when we started this, it was never an idea to make gain money or make a revenue generation. There was just, we were always stuck in these physiological conversations all the time. But what about this? What about this? You know, you and I get into those all the time. And I was like, you know, we should share this.
Mm-hmm.
Because not everybody has a relationship like you and I do, or what Monsi and I do, where we can just sit there and continue to talk back and forth these ideas and go through them. I said, well, let's throw it out there for the world to listen to, and maybe somewhere we're going to inspire somebody, and that's a win.
Yep, absolutely.
You know, and that's, I mean, shoot, this episode, or not this episode, but this podcast is this rinky dink as it is. We got over 10 grand worth of equipment over there, and we did all that as a labor of love. It was just something to say, hey, Here's some knowledge to help everybody out.
I remember when I first came in here and I saw all the equipment that you had. I was just like, this guy hasn't even started one podcast or recorded one, and he has all this already. I'm like, normally people just buy like a $100 camera, you know, maybe some like little mic from Amazon or something. I'm like, no, he's got the best equipment here. I'm like, all right, let's go. He's serious.
Well, now that you've known him for a year,
I can see why.
Yeah. Mm-hmm. Aaron doesn't do anything half-assed.
Exactly.
And it's worth doing. It's worth doing 100% all in, which I love and I appreciate and I encourage.
You do. You encourage a lot of this. This is great.
He's like, what do you think about this? Why not? What's the downside? If there's little to no downside, or the downside is tolerable and it has very, you know, I have a thought process of, fuck it, let's try it. And
so I know where this came from. I will tell you this story. I was in Little League. I was 10 years old, and my parents had bought me an aluminum baseball bat, just like all the other aluminum baseball bats. And all the aluminum baseball bats had different little names on them, different colors, so what? I couldn't hit that ball past the infield to save my butt. I would swing out of my shoes, and it would just dribble past the pitcher. I'm like, what is going on? And for whatever reason, somehow or another, I had grabbed the wrong bat. And I grabbed some of their kids' bat. And they pitch it to me, and I hit it, and I cranked it out into the outfield. Like, it went as far than any bat or ball I've ever hit in my entire life. And I was like, that wasn't me. What was that bat? And I grabbed that thing. What is this sore in the stone? I'm here. Holy moly. And I'm just staring at this bat. And I'm like, what? Well, what is this? And of course, the internet didn't exist back right. then. So I'm sitting there, I'm like, Dak, can we go to Big Five? Dak, can we go to Big Five? We go to Big Five. I'm like, where's that bat? Bat, bat, my bat. And I grab it. It was $150. I mean, this is in the 80s.
Yeah.
It was a $150 bat, and my bat was $9.99. That went. Oh, you get what you pay for. And that was it.
And there's so much truth to that. Yes. You get what you pay for. I always see like memes on Instagram where there's like a half-ass drawn horse and then like an effective cut horse with like meme. 1 hour, 10 hours. Yeah. Yeah, I'm like, that's the difference. That paints the picture perfectly.
When in high school, I would save the money and buy the best stuff. And my parents would. They were very economical. And so I remember one time I was sitting in the TV and I was a teenager and I left my phone or something out there. And it was a new, at the time, little Star Tech Motorola, the little tank one, right? And Dad's like, what is this? Mom's like, oh, that's Aaron's new phone. He goes, this thing's really nice. She's like, yeah, you can tell it's Aaron's. And even my parents knew. And I was like, oh, that was weird. You guys have way more money than I do. Why don't you buy the nice one? And that's how I've been my whole life.
That's cool.
Buy it once and keep it for years, or buy it five times.
So true.
Yeah, it really is.
I've bought in so many things on Amazon that were cheaper, and like you end up buying it over and over and over again. I'm like, okay, time to invest in it.
Exactly. I'm curious, because I know I've listened to episodes and I've texted you back thoughts that have come
yes.
during it, right?
Yes.
What have you, because you just talked about, you know, we have the conversations, you say, hey, let's record it, let's send it out, hopefully it helps somebody else.
Yep.
What have you gotten out of it? What are some of the things that people have sent you back that you were like, damn, that's
so
cool?
I as much as I hate to admit it, the feedback I get on YouTube and all that is just hate. There's nothing good that comes from it. The amount of, and the ideas, the little comments are dumber. I mean, I'm sorry, but the IQ level is just stupid. You know, I had one guy this morning, and he goes, dude, you're talking about slavery. That's literally what he wrote. And I'm like, how to hire people is talking about slavery. Like, it just whatever. But what was really neat is the people that don't comment, but they listen to it and then they apply it. When I get on the phone with some of my customers with Square Coil, and they go, hey, by the way, I listened to your podcast last week. That was really good. I was really thinking about my business, how it goes. And I go, no way. And then we start talking about that. I'm like, okay, what did you implement? And I start consulting right away, right? And I'm like, how about this? How about this? And I get all pumped and jazzed because that's what, you know, lights my fire. And we'll talk about that for half an hour. And then I hang up the phone and I'm like, that was so cool. This is all worth it now.
Yeah.
Somebody took on an idea. So that's what I've gotten out of it.
That's cool.
That would be the biggest thing I've gotten out of that, of the podcast, would be those conversations. And then, of course, from you, I get my pilot's license soon from this. So that's been pretty darn cool.
That is very cool.
What episode are you on your podcast?
We're pretty close. So I had to actually switched, just had to change podcasts partway through the year.
Okay.
The first one was done with a corporation.
Gotcha.
And so it was easier to
rent
independent. Yeah. And give me just a little bit more freedom. And so we should be somewhere around the year.
Okay.
Take off to. And that's been fun and interesting. What's cool is that some of the episodes that we get, mine's set up a little bit different. I tend to have a lot more guests on and
yes,
talk
do,
about
yes.
it. Mostly probably because my insecurity is that I'm not the smartest guy in the room. So if I bring smart people on with me, I just look smarter.
Well, I'm not going to lie. The jealousy is high too. Every time I watch Mike, I'm like, he got another guest speaker. That's so cool. What's he learning?
Well, what's fun is that I've started now to where something will come up on with one guest and I'll get a bunch of texts, how people engage with it, which will bring in the next and we'll bring in the next. And it's almost this domino effect that we've created, unplanned, you know, we've started going down the road of book clubs. We talked about a book, one of the guests I had on about goals, talked about a book she just read by Dan Martell on Buy Back Your Time, which is an entrepreneur. I mean, time is your biggest resource and we tend to use it poorly because we want to do everything ourselves to save money. And so a bunch of people started reading the book, texting me. We ended up having a live book club on it where it was fun. People could call in and we interacted with them. But from there, I mean, I hired a virtual assistant who now started managing my emails and setting my calendars for me. Different people are using them different ways. Different strategies have been put into place. And so it's fun to see what people take from it and put in their own lives, but then send back. Mm-hmm. And I agree with you. Nobody really comments on any of the videos of the channels, but they all know how to get a hold of me via text or email. So I get a lot of the individual feedback that way that I try to put back out into the
world. Give it a feel also. Like, you may not be getting the responses in the comments just yet, but you guys are still fairly new and within like podcast terms, mm-hmm. and you know, just the amount of time you guys have been doing it. Give it some more time where people are going to start adding things, because no one wants to be the first one there, you know, where it's just like all eyes on you, you know. So give it some time and then you'll start seeing all the responses and then just people blowing you guys up.
Or just say something somebody doesn't like. That's
real. Oh, yeah. That's the best.
Oh, yeah.
I never.
Controversy wins.
How quickly people are to jump on the hate bandwagon until this happened. I'm like, wow. It is so much easier for them to put somebody down than it is to lift them up. It's wild.
Mm-hmm.
Society's mindset as a whole.
I actually give so many more compliments over the last 5 years. If I see something nice, I'm like, oh, you look nice today. Oh, that's a nice dress. I'm not trying to hit on you.
Yeah.
I'm just going to give compliments because the world doesn't do it.
No.
It's just sad. Cool. And so I'll walk by. I remember the lady when she opened the door and I said, how are you doing, ma'am? I said, that's a very nice dress. She was in her 80s.
Mm-hmm.
She goes, you guys see that this though.
The delight.
I got a compliment.
Yeah. And what is this?
Yeah.
Right.
And it was, and she smiled big and went about her day. And I said, hey, brought a little joy to her and it didn't hurt me any.
No.
You know, and it's just, I can't wait for the day when more people do it. No, it's just that insecurity. But you know, you're talking about your insecurities. My insecurities, why I don't have that many guest speakers on, is because we're in my boardroom for the sign company here, and there's not its own podcast studio. We're like, we got curtains over here and makeshift stuff, and I'm like, just another week, one more freaking week, I got a real podcast studio. I'm drooling over that, and then after that, it's.
Let's go.
Yes, Game
City. Like, yep. I have been gatekeeping all the guest speakers. We get emails off of it. And I'm like, wait until this point, whatever. Let's set the calendar, all this kind of stuff. Because I'm like, I don't want it to be in this room.
Oh, I didn't think they do not blame
I'm me. Like, no. In the back, yes. Real park. Be like, where are you taking
me? Yeah, exactly.
Am I mad at this?
Well, I'm jealous because mine is my tiny little home office that I created. That there's crap all around me. Just try to keep right behind the sphere.
Hey, you want something better too? We just actually started our own podcast studio. And we're going to start recording a podcast. We got rid of our dining table to have that space to put two chairs and like the cameras and all that kind of stuff. So we no longer have a dining table and we're right next to the kitchen.
So I've always told you that you could use my studio whenever you
want. Absolutely.
So, so when you did all that, I'll scratch my head. I'm like, did I not communicate effectively?
Oh, no, I'll be doing content there. Don't worry.
I was laughing.
She's waiting for it to be done.
You know.
She's going to make her own sign and she's going to put sign behind.
You'd be like, I thought this was my studio.
I remember walking in and seeing the hexagon wall behind you and being like, damn, someday I'm going to be like it. They have a really cool background. I went back on Amazon and like looked to see what could I find that I can put something behind me that looks better than the wall.
No, we got those off Amazon.
Oh, 100% we did.
And then we 100%. Had one of the installers.
And when we put them up, I'm like, this is dull. We actually took them down and painted the wall blue and then put them back up. We're like, oh, that's got a little pump color.
I will say, I remember some episodes where like somewhere like.
It's like, well, that's the third episode. I'm sitting here talking. All of a sudden something falls and I'm like, don't look. Just keep talking. Apparently the tape has decided that in that millisecond of time in the 1 hour per week, that was when I was going to lose it. Awesome. Yeah, that sucked.
Yeah, so, too, buddy.
Rigmarole, freaking place.
I've got a question for you. Do you ever listen to your episodes?
You know what? I started to on episode like 18 or 19. The first 17, I just knew. I was like,
you're going to cringe.
Oh, yeah. This is just going to be cringe city. I knew.
Uh-huh.
No, now I do. I listen to them. Definitely when I have a guest speaker. If it's just me monologuing, not so much. I'll listen to the first 3 minutes to make sure I have some highs and lows. And
not the robot?
Yeah, not the robot. And that's helped a lot.
I find it, well, the reason I ask is because I was similar. I couldn't stand to listen to my own voice. And I started to when a friend of mine pointed out, he said, look, you know, baseball players can't hide. Their highlight reels are on ESPN, good, bad, or otherwise. Mm-hmm. Their stats are on the board. And Lord help you if you're a visiting team in San Diego. Right? You got some stupid funny stats up there too.
Yeah.
So, but professional athletes can't hide. Why, if we're professionals, why are we hiding?
True.
Go back and listen. Go back and look. You want to get better, get over you being in, afraid of you. Mm-hmm. And it's been really interesting listening, not as much for the content, but for the ums and the ahs, and the stutterings and how many half sentences I would speak, or how I could have asked a better question, how I could have engaged better. I wonder how many in business, not just podcasting, but in business, you know, throw up a camera or cell phone and record themselves doing what they do. Record themselves giving a sales pitch. Record themselves.
Where you're saying this. Don't look at.
Yeah,
I'm like, I have to look at her.
I'm like, really? Do you tell more?
That's, you've been up my butt for 3 months.
It's. We started using it with my team. I bought a tripod and, you know, silly as it sounds, in the little cell phone holder. I do it with their own phone because I don't want them to have the insecurities that I have it. Mm-hmm. But stop telling me how you sell something.
Sure.
Sell it.
Yep.
Right? True role play. Then go back and watch your video. Cringe by yourself in the room and then come back out and do it again.
Yeah.
Cringe by yourself in the room.
I'll say this. I even cringe at my videos too. Like, I have not gone back and looked at my own videos.
You got nothing to cringe about. I looked at my, God, someday I'm going to be at that point on stage.
Back. It's just straight.
Oh, exactly. Gonna...
There. Dialed. The one thing that I have a bad habit of doing is I go to use a word and I realize that's not the word I want to use. And so I pause, I change my word, and then I continue on. So it's just broken up sentence when I'm talking. And I'm like, just throw the word out there. And if somebody takes the wrong impression, that's a them problem.
But that's raw and real. If anything, I appreciate that more than, you know, you getting down on yourself or like saying something wrong or anything like that. Because, I mean, we all make mistakes when you're talking. It's fine. And then, yeah, I mean, I don't mind it. We don't mind it on social media. They don't mind it. They don't point it out.
We don't really.
I think that's just you on you.
That's okay.
Yeah.
Makes you feel a little better. But no, I watch this, the breakup of the sentences all the time, and I'm listening back, and I'm like, and in my head, I'm like, spit it out, dude.
I think you did tell me one day, too. You were like, yeah, I mumble sometimes here and there, and I'm like, yeah, it's fine.
But it's, but it, all in all, this podcast journey has been something I never ever thought of. I thought I'd throw some information out there. Maybe they got it. Maybe they didn't. And that's all this was going to be. Mm-hmm. It was a labor of love. No idea the avenues. No idea the possibilities. Wasn't there that was it Jim Carrey? They had a movie. Was it called Yes?
Yes Man.
Yes Man. Yep.
Yes Man. Mm-hmm. And when I watched it, I'm like, why doesn't everybody try and apply this in our lives? And this is the perfect example of a yes man.
Yep.
Just say yes and see where it goes.
Yeah.
Somebody has an opportunity. He goes, yeah, go to the call. Yes. Matt's like, yeah, let's go find something. Yes. Mm-hmm. I have no idea where that was going to go. And how am I going to get my pilot's license?
Nah, that's super cool.
And who knows what type of plane we're going to buy, or once we buy said plane, where are we going to go on vacation? Who are we going to run into at that airport?
You have a lot more options now.
Where's that going to lead me to?
Yeah.
Like, it really is an endless possibility just by saying yes.
It's really easy to sit on the outside and go, oh, Aaron, you know, I can never live like that.
Mm-hmm.
And turn up, but you
don't know.
I mean, you're special, but you're not special,
right?
You just special. Are open to opportunities.
Yeah, just make a little bit of time.
Yeah,
you know, I you know, with Jeannie, you know, we talked about going on the helicopter, and you were like, "Yeah, I'm gonna go." And then the last second, she's like, "I don't feel like it." I'm like, "You're going." She's like, "Nah, literally, you this taking the words right out of your mouth." 3.5 seconds into the helicopter ride, like, this is the best thing ever.
Matt looks at me, I'm like, "Let it go, let it rip, do your best." He goes, "Oh shit, okay,
yeah,
I'm over it."
Yeah, and that was an absolute blast. That was so much fun. And, I mean, I was shocked that he get that close to NASCO. You know, I was shocked that he got, you know, only 50 feet off the Coronado Bridge when we went over it. For a second, I thought he was going to go under it.
You bet too.
Wow. I was looking, I'm like, is he going to go under the bridge or over? I wasn't sure.
I thought the same thing. All right.
Yeah.
I'm in it. It's not like I can get out, so for the ride.
Well, it was awesome. Like I said, you never would have thought.
So, and he has that mentality for everybody listening. That's his mentality too. He just said, "Hey, I want to get my pilot's license," and went all in.
So I'm sandbagging him until I get to new podcast studio. So as you're keeping,
yeah,
you know, I'm doing the same thing. Yeah. Once I get the new studio, Matt is coming on just to hear his story. He has such a good story. I don't even want to ruin it or even talk. Just let him talk.
Yes.
He's a great storyteller himself.
Oh, 100%.
You're just going to have to censor.
Yes. Yes.
I guess for the clips.
Beep button.
Yeah.
She was Navy. Retired Navy. So.
Yeah. Yeah. That says anything you understand.
So that's where the term comes from.
Mm-hmm.
Cuss like a sailor.
Yeah.
But it's been a great journey. You guys have all been a part of it. I can't thank you enough. I can't thank you enough. You, I just love you. But it's all of you guys made this happen. It was definitely a team effort to do this and to open all these avenues. So I can't thank you guys enough. This
thank
just
you
been
too.
So cool and so neat. And I'm excited for next year. I'm excited for the next 52. Now that a lot more avenues are opening up, more guest speakers, more thought process stuff, I'm really excited to see where this can go. So
we're excited to watch you do it. Oh yeah,
it's gonna be a fun one. Mm-hmm. So thank you guys, thank you for being here, and see you again soon.
Sounds good.
Thank you.